Before we get into this week, let's read the title of the entire conference again, all together. 1, 2, 3.
Knowing, experiencing, and living the all-inclusive Christ for the genuine church.
And then let's read the title for week 5.
Doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Again.
Doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus.
So actually, this morning, me and David will kind of partner up to kind of open up this week. This week, I feel really, really rich.
Amen.
I mean, every week is very rich, but I don't know. Getting into this, I was so impressed, especially by the sequence. If you see in the title of the entire conference, let's look at this. It says, knowing, experiencing, and living the all-inclusive Christ for the genuine church life. Every single phrase in this title is so meaningful. Even to see that. We know, experience, and live Christ for what? Not just for our own spirituality, our own victory. It's for the genuine church life. That's what all of this is for. And even the sequence of these Jared, these ing words. We have to first know. Then we experience. And then we live. Because many times, at least my disposition, I always love to just go right to the, okay, let's be practical. What should we do? What type of habit do I need to develop? What should I do? What should I take away from this speaking? And that's regarding my living. I always want to jump to, how can this affect my daily living right now? But I really appreciate that in order for our living to be genuinely touched by the Lord, we have to experience Him. We have to experience Him in a subjective way. But we can't experience the Lord in a subjective way if we don't know the Lord, even objectively.
Amen.
In Philippians 3:8, Paul says, I count all things as loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's referring to the objective knowing of Christ. If we don't even know who Christ is, how can we experience Him? Because then right after that, verse 10, it says, to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. And then etc. So this is very much applicable to this message. So this message is doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I don't want to take too much time. Maybe Shiloh can give me, I don't know, like a hand once I reach like 3 minutes or something. If you actually look at this title, at least from my study, there's at least 3 main parts to this message. One is, it's kind of like, it's funny, it's like it's backwards. You have to read the title backwards. The first part is the name of the Lord Jesus. Why do we care about this name? What's so special about this name? Why do we call on this name? Why are the saints always encouraging us to call, oh Lord Jesus? Is it just a mantra? Is it just a form that we do? No, it's not. There's something very special about this name.
Amen.
Then the second is, what does it mean to be in the name of the Lord Jesus? Like, how can you be in a name? Like, what does that even mean? What does the Bible say about being in the name of the Lord Jesus? And then finally, what is these all things that we need to do? How can we do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus? And it's almost like, it almost corresponds to like the 3 gerunds in the title. We need to know the name of the Lord Jesus.
Right.
We must experience being in this name. And then spontaneously, we will live Him out in the things that we do. So, the first verse in the scripture reading is Colossians 3:17, which is kind of like the basis for this entire message. It says, you can kind of look at it just to make sure I didn't get it wrong, but it says, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. So that's the basis for all of this. But I wanted to, my portion this morning will mainly be to focus on why is this name so important? And if we look at Roman numeral 1, this is a very important name.
Yes.
Because this name is the highest name in the universe.
Amen.
The greatest name. And then I think some of us know in Philippians 2, it details that the Lord, He left His throne, He left His glory, He humbled Himself, to become a man, even lowering Himself even further to become that of a slave. And because of that, God the Father highly exalted Him, giving Him the name which is above every name.
Amen.
And now, as we will later see this message, this name isn't just His possession. This name is also our possession. This name is even ours to use, to live in, to do all things in. So, I realized, like, as I was getting into this, if I'm going to appreciate what it means to be in the name of the Lord Jesus,
Amen.
To do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, I better know what's so special about this name.
Amen.
And to realize what a wonderful privilege
Amen.
I've been given. The more we know this, the more we will spontaneously want to be in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And want to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Roman numeral 1, letter D. It's very, very meaningful. It says, the name is the expression of the sum total of what the Lord Jesus is in His person and work.
Amen.
So, I think the big takeaway... Oh, Lord Jesus. The big takeaway of this first point of being it, of the name of the Lord Jesus is that when you see the word name, we should think person. Not just person, but person and work.
Amen.
All that He is
Amen.
And all that He's done. Like, for instance, like if you hear the name Jerry, you immediately think of me. And not just who I am, but what I've done. Maybe my relationship to you or whatever. So when we hear the name Jesus or even the Lord Jesus, we should think about who He is and what He's done for us. And then real quick, before I hand it off to David, I just want to, just for our appreciation, I want to like dissect there's like three terms in Lord Jesus Christ. Every single Amen. One of these words is very meaningful.
Amen.
The name Jesus is the name of the man who lived on the earth, God becoming a man. Jesus also means Jehovah, our salvation, our Savior.
Amen.
And then Emmanuel means Jehovah with us. So He's both man and He's God with us. And this man went through the whole process as we were enjoying this morning. He went through incarnation, human living, death, resurrection, and ascension. Then the name Christ means that He's the anointed one. He's the one who's fully qualified to carry out everything in God's economy.
Amen.
He's in fact the very center and source. He's the very purpose of God's economy. And He's the goal of God's economy. So when we hear the name Jesus Christ, we should think of everything that He is and all that He's done for us. And then finally, Lord. When we call the Lord, when we say Lord, many times I'm convicted. Do I really view Him as the Lord? Do I see, as we see in Ephesians 1, at the end of Ephesians 1, God raised Him. He wasn't just resurrected. He ascended far above all rule, all authority, all power, above every name, that which is to be named, and that which is to come. And now He is the head over all things.
Amen.
So when we call on this name, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
We are calling on the highest person in the whole universe.
Yes.
Amen.
And then I really appreciate in Ephesians 1, at the end it says, gave Him to be head over all things to the church.
Amen.
So not only is He the head over all things, but we get to participate
Amen.
In that as well. Because because the Father has given us this name. And now we can enjoy this name, we can live in this name, we can even use this name, as we will later get into. But my earnest hope for all of us is that we would have an uplifted view of the name of the Lord Jesus. And spontaneously we would want to live and do all things in this name.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
What a sweet name we can call upon. This way, I especially appreciate Colossians 3:17, like Jerry just mentioned. Whatever you do, whatever I do, whatever we do, in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's not only the thing in the meeting, not only the thing in our church life, but what about our ordinary daily life? All things. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So what does that mean to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus? Is this name just a term just for us to add in the end of our prayers? No. This name, just like Jerry shared, it's a person. We need to do all things in this person. So Roman numeral 2 give us a very clear explanation
Amen.
For how to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. So point A under Roman 2, it says, being the name of the Lord Jesus means that God has committed His Son to us,
right.
that we partake of His name, and that the Lord has given Himself to us, and is willing to acknowledge everything that we do in His name.
Right.
And actually, this is God's intention. So God gave Lord Jesus to us, not only just to save us, to cleanse us from our sins, but more importantly, moreover, He wants us to do in His name. Yes. And He's willing to acknowledge everything, whatever we do, in His name. And point B, it says, it is vital for us to see that to be in the name of the Lord Jesus means that we are one with Him.
Amen.
We are one with the Lord.
Amen.
That we are in Him and He is in us. So I think for me to understand this term to be in His name is whenever we are one with Him, we are in the name of the Lord Jesus, right?
Amen.
So probably in our like working life, sometimes we need to like use the seal of our manager to approve some documents. And when we do that, we should be one with our manager, and we
yes.
represent him on this kind of procedure or
exactly.
something. So when we are in the one of the Lord, means that we properly represent God. We are the acting God, and so the requirement is we need to be one with the Lord. In Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heavens, but he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens." So not means that not everyone who says, "Oh Lord, oh Lord," or says, "Oh, I do this in your name, I cast out demons in your name, I do everything in your name," but if we are not one with the Lord would not recognize us on
right.
the day of judgment. So yeah. it's really encouragement to me that even though we have so many services, we have so many speaking, so many, a lot
Amen.
Of activities in church life, we need to be one with the Lord. Amen. Otherwise, all these things right. will not be recognized by the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, let me go to Romans 3. Romans 3, actually, it's a point that supports Romans 2, that Father and the Lord are the one, and Lord and Spirit are one. So when we are one with the Lord in His name, actually, we are one with the triune God. So point C under Romans 3 says, Father sent the Spirit in the Son's name, and Son sent the Spirit from the Father. So one says, the Spirit being sent by Father in the Son's name implies both the Father and Son are the sender of the Spirit. And four says, both the Father and Son send the Spirit. This indicates that Father and the Son are one. So this is God's intention. God wants us to be one with the triune God.
Amen.
And there are so many, actually there are so many verses in Matthew that talk about this oneness of this divine Trinity. So probably Sam will bring it up. Stop here for Romans 3. And Romans 4:2-6 actually is a more practical way to apply in our daily life or church
Amen.
Life to do all things in His name. So first one, Romans 4 says, in our daily life, in our service, in the church, we need to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And 5 is our speaking. All our words should be in the name of the Lord Jesus. And 6 is our prayer. I especially appreciate the prayer because, I'm still in the process to learn how to pray. But here I was so encouraged that, in John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you,
Amen.
Ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you.
Amen.
We should not just focus on the first part of this verse that, the second part of this verse, that was whatever we will and shall be done for us. But the first part, if we abide in the Lord,
Amen.
Means to abide in the Lord and His word, so that we will be one with Him. So when we pray, actually, it's the Lord Jesus praying. And when whatever He is praying, God the Father will complete His prayer. So we need to really practice, exercise to call upon the Lord. So whatever, but the more we call upon the Lord, the more we will be one with the Lord. And the more we be one with the Lord can answer our prayer.
Amen.
So I will stop here. Maybe each saint can have 3 minutes so piano can help us
Amen.
For a time. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I was really touched by day four on the aspect of so Roman numeral 4 says, in our daily life, in our service in the church, we need to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when I was reading it as, in our service in the church, we need to do everything in the name of Jesus. But it focuses also on in our daily life. I think that was something that was both very sweet and a little bit exposing to me, where it says there is an aspect of regulation in our daily life. And I need to consider before the Lord if in the things that I do in my ordinary days, are these things that are they done in the Lord's name? So day four, there's a part that says, to make such a declaration means a great deal. If we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, we are victorious. If we do not do things in his name, we are defeated. We should be able to say that we do the ordinary things of our daily life, such as going to the barbershop or going shopping, in the name of the Lord Jesus. If we cannot say this, we must realize we have been defeated. So when we come to the meetings, we say and do things in the name of the Lord Jesus. But do we do things in our home and daily affairs in the name of the Lord Jesus? It may be that the practice of being in the name of the Lord Jesus is just a religious formality with us. I think that was something just gently exposing to realize, Lord, you know, maybe I have a certain mindset when I'm in the meeting or doing things, quote, for the Lord in the meeting. But when it comes to my daily life, maybe what I do is not in the name of the Lord. I think this is sweet, and I'm learning to be in his name. I think kind of on this topic, I had been considering on the name of the Lord, hymn 1083, which is Jesus, oh what a name, etc., etc. And so one of the parts of the verse is, we are those who call upon his name in every place, and then I will call upon his name as long as I shall live. And I think this is also something that was sweetly exposing. I need to consider how many times I call on the name of the Lord in, like, a good time. So I used to, when my, not to expose my parents, but sometimes when my parents would call on the name of the Lord, I would go to them and ask what's wrong, because my assumption was that I call on the name of the Lord when something's wrong, and I need the Lord because there's something wrong. I think my parents were convicted in the sense that, hey, we shouldn't be calling on the name of the Lord just when something is wrong. But it's in every time, in every place, in our normal daily living, we can enjoy the name of the Lord. And so I'm learning that as well, because I'm realizing that when things are good in my ordinary life, it's easy to forget the Lord. But I think in this vein of learning to do all things in the name of the Lord, is that we can enjoy this one wherever we are.
Amen.
Amen.
So this week, I really touched this week's message, because I feel like this is not a light matter, talking about the Lord's name. You know, in Christianity, actually, it's not that common in our in Lord's recovery that people or a pastor, even the pastor, will pray, right? And at the end of their prayer, they'll say, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But today, in the Lord's recovery, we're touching about the reality and why the Lord's talking about doing things. This is actually really a crucial matter related to God's economy.
Right. Yes.
About God's dispensing of himself to us.
Right.
So, you know, the background of this is actually John 14, when Lord introduced about the Father, about him,
right,
and the coming Spirit. Right. So, you know, when I first become a Christian, or when I first read these verses from John 14, Lord said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. When I was just a Christian, I have a very natural thought. I was, wow, this is a very good prayer. I can just pray anything in the Lord's name, and he will do it.
Amen.
Right? You can maybe even ask, why, Lord, you didn't do it. I just pray in your name.
Amen.
But what does it mean, pray in the Lord's name? No. Clearly, I think from the message we know, pray in his name means we pray in this person. You even don't have to add that prayer in the end of your prayer, say, I pray in the Lord, name of the Lord Jesus, if you are with him, if you are praying in this person. Well, the hardest part is pray in this person. What does it mean, pray in this person? It means we're no longer ourselves. Our prayer is Lord's prayer. It's Father's prayer through the Spirit. We pray that out. It's actually, you know, that's not our prayer. It's our, not our intention or will. It's God's prayer. It's Father's prayer. I just touch another example, like how does the Lord do this on the earth? You know, in the, I believe it's in the Matthew. Yeah, Matthew 11. I just need to get my Bible verses out. So, you know, Lord is preaching the gospel to different cities, right? And those cities actually reject him. Matthew 11:25. So the background is this. So Lord Jesus preached gospel to those different cities, right? To Capernaum, to Sidon, Tyre, Bethsaida, all these people, right? So the background is, here's the verses, verse 20. There's that, he began to reproach the city in which the most of his works power took place because they did not repent. Right? Lord Jesus did a lot of good work with his power at those cities, but nobody repents. Then what he said after all this, Lord said this. He praised the Father. He said, yes, Father, for thus it has been well-pleasing in your sight.
Amen.
See that? When we preach the gospel, when somebody rejects us, what's our feeling? Oh, Lord, maybe this is not the right person. Maybe I shouldn't come today. But Lord is not doing this way. He said, well-pleasing Father. He's definitely not in himself. He's in Father. Right. So he won't be happy or sad.
Right.
He just do what right. Father wants to do.
Amen.
This set a real good example to us. So I think, oh, this is really a not that matter, and it's really, you know, need our exercise every day. And even us, because the message is talking about our living.
That's right.
Means it's not just doing some gospel work. I know when we go out to preach the gospel, we definitely exercise our spirit.
Yeah.
We gather to pray. But this is even touch even more detail about our living.
Right.
The small things, like shopping, or doing the work, or, you know, when you talk with your friends or your colleagues. This is even more detail since we need to exercise this. To basically, we need to constantly ask the Lord, Lord, I need you.
Right.
Am I making a decision myself? I want to make a decision according to you. I want to
Amen.
Be aligned with you.
Amen.
So that we can be in this person. So that we can do all things in his
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
So day five, it says, our speaking, all our words should be in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it brings out this verse, Matthew 12:36. Every idle word which men shall speak, they will render an account concerning it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. And so we might take this verse, and then, I don't know, sometimes I get the feeling like, then I just won't speak, because every idle word will be judged. And it's like, Lord, the things I say, can I really say they're all words that are not idle? But rather, we should positively pursue learning how to speak truth to one another.
Right.
We see this in Ephesians 4:25, that we would speak truth, each one with his neighbor.
Right.
And even that our words would be for building up. Our words would be meeting the needs of the saints.
Amen.
And our words would give grace to those who
Amen.
Hear. And then it goes even deeper, because it shows us that this is not just a matter of our mouth, but this is a matter of our heart.
Amen.
Because Matthew 12:34 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
So to take care of our speaking, we have to take care of the condition of our heart.
Right.
This reminds me of Psalm 45:1. It says, my heart overflows with a good matter.
Right.
I speak what I have composed concerning the King.
Right.
My tongue is the pen of a ready writer.
Amen.
And so I think this really filled me with a lot of encouragement.
Amen.
That if our heart would overflow with the things concerning Christ, then our speaking would naturally be an overflow.
Right.
And our tongue would be the pen of a ready writer.
Right.
So we do have to watch. We have to give our speaking to the Lord, that our words wouldn't be loose, natural, and idle. But also positively, we should ask the Lord to fill us with good things.
Amen.
To speak and give grace and truth.
Amen.
I likewise was touched by day 5. And I think this is a subject that hits very close to home for me. Because, you know, I like to make small talk. I like to, you know, joke around. I remember I went to this one Bible school, and actually one of the rules is don't joke around too much.
Yes.
I remember seeing that rule and being like, what? This is like, this is unreasonable. Like who can not, like, you know, play around with their friends, right? But actually what really touched me was, as was brought out before, you know, idle words are actually an alpha of our heart, right? And it says in the same verses that Susan just brought out, right? The mouth speaks out the abundance of the heart. And I think what really touched me about this week was that in Matthew 12:36, it says that we will make account of every idle word, right? And so we realize that, oh, like every word that I speak comes out of my heart and every word that will be accounted for, right? So there is this, there's almost a standard. What I was really impressed by was the fact that actually every idle word comes out of our heart. So I've had this view, right, for so long. It's like, oh, I need to guard my heart so I would not have blasphemous or evil thoughts. But actually, what's being said here, I realize, is so much deeper than that. It's not that we would just sanctify ourselves of every blasphemous or evil thought. Actually, even the idle words, right? And the idle words themselves come out of our soul and our heart, right? And I think what really impressed me was this week was, okay, so then it's not enough just to be a good person who doesn't have blasphemous thoughts or blasphemous things in my heart. Idle things in my heart, likewise, will be accounted for. Every single idle thing, every act of cavalierness, right? That condition within my heart, that is something I'm going to have to answer for. And so then my reaction was, Lord, right, I give up. Who could do this?
Right.
But just as Susan brought out, right? And some, and the saints will probably bring out as well, right? Like, I felt the answer was just to be filled with the Lord. And it almost seems a little too easy. Almost seems like duct tape. Just be filled with the Lord. But I feel like this is the only answer.
Yes.
It's so easy to be like, well, it's overwhelming. How can my entire heart be cured and devoid of idleness? Mm. Like, who doesn't just want to lounge around sometimes and just, you know, like, think about other things, right? Like, who doesn't want to? But, oh, like, I realize, but if every word that comes out of my mouth is a reflection of what's in my heart, then my heart also has to be one with the Lord at all times.
Amen.
And I think this is why we have the blood. This is why we have forgiveness and sanctification. That slowly, as we continue to grow in life, you know, our hearts would be those that slowly have less and less idleness. I don't know if that was like the most eloquent way to say it. But I'm looking forward to be someone who has less and less idleness in my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Key verse, day 4, Colossians 3:17. Only come to the Bible one time. Whatever you do, wow, in the world, or in deed, has two things. Do all things is a different Greek word. The first do and the second do is different thing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, whatever you do, wow, this training, this is really helpful training for the second generation. After the full message, now we talk about the do in the real, the church life, genuine church life, not a fake life, not the fake, artificial church life. The genuine church life. You have to do something. Do something in His name. 1974, I was baptized. I didn't really know. I think religion went, oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jehovah. But when I go to the military training, the sergeant called me, Joe Toe! I said, yes, I'm here. My name, and he called me, the name is the same one, the person. When you call, so we do everything in the general church life. We must in His name.
Amen.
His presence. Here, here. And at the witnesses. What's the Lord's table here? He's here. You, did you feel He's present?
Amen.
Amen. He's here with us in His name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, I do appreciate this uplifted view of what it means to have the name of the Lord Jesus and to be in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Romans 8:10, we see that Christ is in us. 2 Corinthians 13:15, that Jesus Christ is in you.
Amen.
And then in Galatians, we have put on Christ, 3:27 through 28, we have put on Christ, and we are all one in Christ Jesus. So we see that to be in the name of the Lord Jesus means that we are one with Him. We are in Him, and He is in us.
Amen.
So I just, you know, I appreciate all the saints sharing to realize when we say, it doesn't say just on the name of the Lord Jesus, it says in the name of the Lord
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Because this is the sphere, you know, this is the realm that we are learning to live in, to walk in, to be in. And I just, there was something from the message I appreciated the brother shared, that we're not, when we call, we have to have an uplifted view when we're calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. We need to be, it's not enough to just call on the name. We need to be in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because actually when we're calling, here it says, to be in the name of the Lord Jesus means that God has committed His Son to us, that we partake of His name, and that the Lord has given Himself to us and is willing to acknowledge everything that we do in His name. And that last part there is just like, wow. The Father is willing to acknowledge everything that we do when we are in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is just, you're like, that blows my mind. That's really high. But so what he said in the message is that actually we call not merely to receive the supply to get through certain situations, but to live in oneness with Him. The reality of our oneness with the Lord is confirmed by our calling on His name. And so I don't know if I can really, I'm just like, our calling is not merely just to get me through the situation with my kids. It's not just to call, you know. I've had the same experience. My parents will call me like, am I in trouble? What did I do? Right? Like, what is wrong? But actually, our calling is to confirm the reality that Christ is in me and that I am in Christ.
Amen.
Like, what an uplifted view of what it means to be in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are in a different realm. You know, we're just learning, that's the fact, and now we're learning to be in the reality of that fact, you know, day by day. And I appreciate it also, it was saying, not just in our church service, but actually in our daily life, we are learning to just be one with the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord has given us His name so that we can be one with Him, right?
Amen.
So I just appreciate, actually, one small experience I realized this week, sometimes I need to call audibly. You know, I have to call on the name of the Lord so that I can be in the name of the Lord. Because sometimes I'm just in myself, I'm in my mind, I'm in my emotions. But when I call on the name of the Lord, that actually transports me into the person of the Lord. And so I'm just so thankful that we have the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I was really touched by day 4 and 5 and kind of like echoing what everyone was sharing, right? On Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." I really especially like, you know, enjoy the part where it says, "And whatever you do in word or in deed." Mm-hmm. So really, you know, emphasizes how like this not only applies to things, you know, explicitly spiritual, but actually in our ordinary things, or ordinary days. You know, in all we do and in all we say, you know, are we doing these things in the name of the Lord Jesus? And this is not just some like formality in when you pray, right? But actually it's a reality and a constant experience. And it's a matter of being, are you one with the Lord in what you say and what you do? As we know, the Father is the source, the Son is the course, and the Spirit is the flow. Right, so in all things we do, is there a flow within in the Spirit, If there is, then chances are you are doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. But I also really, in connection to what was said in day five, it talks about the matter of, like in Matthew 12:36, it says it does not say how we will be judged only in every filthy word or every blasphemous word or every evil word, but in every idle word. So I think this really is really very much related to, you know, what was covered in day four, because, by default, we are all in our outer man, right? And we all just say things according to what we naturally feel. But if we have the reality of doing all things and saying all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, you know, we will actually be saved, not just from every wicked word, but every idle word too. I just feel like I think it was in day five where it says like how, like it's not just every wicked word, but every idle word actually, like it leaks away life,
right?
It makes you shipwreck, you know. And I really have a lot of experiences with that, you know, just saying a lot of idle words and feeling just very dead and shipwrecked. Like I failed you, Lord, just by saying something, like not even wrong, but idle. Also in connection to Matthew 12:34, it says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So, you know, in just every thought we have in our heart, right? And many times it's idle too. It will actually be expressed in what we say and what we do. But I just really, I think the in Colossians 3:7 it talks about the matter of doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. So it applies to just in our ordinary days. So really, may the Lord really bring me to this realization of what it means to do things in the name of, in His name, and just even every ordinary thing I do.
Amen.
Some of the examples that the saints have shared this morning to talk about being in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I was touched also by Colossians 3:17. Whatever we do in word or in deed, do in the name, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through Him.
Amen.
So we've been told many times we need to learn to follow the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Okay. This morning we're talking about doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're talking about the same thing. Here's why. So, for example, in my day, so we're talking about our day, our daily living. How do we go about our day? So the saints mentioned we must be those, firstly, who call on the Lord. We call on His name, Lord Jesus. And we don't just call when things are going wrong. We don't call when things are going right. We just are habitual callers, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And why do we want to do this? Why? Because we want to be those in His name.
Amen.
In His name. So we want to be, our Christian life is a matter of being one with the Lord more and more and more, and being away from the Lord less and less and less. So our Christian life is very simple. We want to be those who are, our fellowship with the Lord is increasing day by day, increasing. So what does this look like? What does this look like? So what does it look like to learn to follow the Spirit? What does it look like to be in the name of the Lord? Well, we're just increasing our contact with the Lord. It's very simple. We're increasing our contact with the Lord. It's increasing day by day. And our being away from the Lord is decreasing. So we may go for long periods of time where we don't call on the Lord. We don't say, oh Lord. Or even, oh. Just to say, oh, is calling on the Lord. So now, again, why do we call on the Lord? We call on the Lord so that we're joined to the Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Very simple. It's not that we're having a bad day. It's not that we want to be rescued out of our situation. Maybe we do. We want to get out of our... We want, Lord, get me out of here. We say, Lord Jesus, get me out. So unconsciously, we say, get me out of here. Gradually, we'll learn. We'll just drop that, get me out of here. And we'll just say, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, here's another. So, one day I was in a car with an older brother. Well, he wasn't that old at the time. He had young kids. And they were joking around. He stopped them right there. He would not let them joke around. He stopped them right in their tracks. Boom. Just like that. Later on I realized our joking around is our detaching ourselves from the Lord.
Yes.
Now they're young boys. So they might not be regenerated, but still they need to be trained in their humanity to not be unrestrained. So our being in His name is a matter of our being restrained and constrained.
Amen.
So there needs to be, we need to have this word in us restricted. I must be restricted.
Right.
So, He didn't let them joke around because they became unruly. They became totally unrestricted. This is not a good human habit. This is a bad habit. Here's another example. So, in our lives, we need to be praying. Romans 5 and 6, speaking and praying. I'll be finished in a second. In our life, we need to be restricted to the Lord. This is what it means to be in His name. In His name means I can't, Lord, let me just do what I want to do for a minute. Am I restricted? No. Okay, so here's a simple example, a practical example. It was mentioned, I might have the thought, you're not my Lord. All right, you're not my Lord enough. Something like that. Right there in that thought, it's our opportunity to be constrained to the Lord or to go free from the Lord and be unrestricted and go wild. At that moment, we don't know if that's a a flaming dart injected to our mind by the evil one. It possibly is a flaming dart. It depends on how we take care of this thought in our mind. I'm not restricted. So we can go unrestricted and just go crazy and say, start condemning ourselves. Don't, that's to go away from the Spirit. That's to go away from the Lord. Don't do that. If we have that thought, just turn that into a simple, Amen, Lord. It's a question. It's a question in our mind. Make it a question to the Lord. Just say, just acknowledge that question. Just leave it right there. Lord, I give it to you. Am I restricted? Are you my Lord? Just leave it. Just be that simple. It's a question in our mind. It came up in our mind. Make it a question. Give it back to the Lord, and let Him respond.
Amen.
If He wants to say more, He'll be very specific. For example, He might touch us. Like He might say, "Here's a simple example, Tom. You're careless in brushing your teeth. How about that?" Very specific. The Lord is very specific. He's specific. So He might say, are you my Lord? Am I your Lord? So then just turn that back to the Lord. Lord, are you my Lord? And then He might say, what about your brushing your teeth, Tom? We have the answer right there. No, in my brushing my teeth, He's not my Lord. Now, contrast that to just starting to condemn yourself. That's just to go down to a pit. And then we have to call on the Lord. Lord, get me out of this pit. That pit is just from the flaming dart of the evil one taking us away from the Lord. Bye, Lord. I'm going to go down into the pit for a second. I'm going to condemn myself. And the Lord saying, I'm not condemning you. Come back. Come back and stay with me.
Amen.
So those are two examples.
Amen.
Two examples. So let me just conclude this way. We must be those who are gradually increasing our contact with the Lord.
Amen.
This is in our day. So this is in our contacting Lord. So firstly, our calling on Him. We're His believers. We're His believers, not His unbelievers. We're His believers. We call in faith. We call in faith, in a believing heart. Second, so we should be calling because we want to be talking to Him. And we should be, that's our speaking. In our speaking, we should be speaking to the Lord.
Amen.
And listening to His response. So if we have a sense, we just pray that back to the Lord. We don't go beyond that sense. Don't go beyond it. That's to go unrestrained. That's to be unrestricted. Bye, Lord. I'm just going to go down some path that you didn't shine in me. You just put a question in me. You didn't shine in me, but I'm going to go down that path. Don't do that. Stay with the Lord. He shines more. Tom, you're brushing your teeth. Amen. Just confess that. Lord, yes, amen, Lord. So stay with the Lord. And this is, so we talk to the Lord. That's our speaking. Our speaking, we speak to the Lord. We call on the Lord. Now He wants to do one more thing. Don't forget to bring in the Word of God. The Word of God. So what we need to add the Word to our conversation with the Lord. This is to marry the Word and the Spirit. So that in our being, in our day, the Word and the Spirit become one. We want the Word of God and the Spirit within us to become one. In His timing, we have His speaking within us. We have His speaking. So anyway, I just try to be very simple, use the examples that were spoken this morning to just fellowship about being in the name of the Lord, to be one with the Lord.
Amen.
In our speaking and in our prayer. This is in our fellowship. This is how we fellowship with the Lord. Not only with one another, but just starting with the Lord. Am I restricted? Is there a restriction in my life? Am I restricted to the Spirit? This is how we get to know, like, what does it mean to follow the Spirit, to learn to follow the Spirit? It's exactly what we're talking about this morning.
We're just
learning to follow the Lord within us. That's the Spirit.
Amen.
So we want to marry the Word with the Spirit. We need the Word of God so that we don't pray in a fleshly way. We don't pray in a devilish way. We do not pray in a devilish way. We pray in a way of light and revelation.
Amen.
And vision and person. We pray in the person of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Scott. Thank you. Sorry for taking so long, saints.
Amen. This calling, the name of the Lord, to me is to open ourselves to Him. We open ourselves to Him, and we can call the name of the Lord. You know, I was in the conference, Spanish-speaking conference, KPCC, and the topic was the Lord Revival, right? And the Lord Revival, you know, happens all the time in our life, right? It's a beginning, a course, a pause, and an ending. We're going through this, the ascending. It's like a spiral. We always go through all the things, but it's an ascension, right? It's an ascension. So we're going to go through a lot of trials, a lot of things. See, in the practicality, the Lord Revival brings three things. Eating, drinking, and resting. And now, we need to start at home. If we don't start at home, this is just pure religion. If we share a lot, we talk a lot, we don't start at home,
right,
and we don't apply this revival, this love revival, we don't apply this calling in the Lord, we don't open to the Lord. All this is words. That's all it is. So, we need... The Lord said, whoever eat me and drink of me have his divine life. And whoever is burning, tired, come to me, I will give him rest. So this is the Lord Revival that happens.
Amen.
It's a cycle. We're going through all these things. We're going to have a lot of beginnings, the course, and a lot of pauses. The pause is when we go through a lot of trials and tribulations in our life. But this will have an ending. Some people want to just get away from these trials and tribulation, trying to deviate to another thing. No, we need to keep going. You know, but we're going in an ascending way. So we need to ask the Lord for mercy so we can really see how high is His name. But His name is so high when we open ourselves to Him. We open ourselves to Him and the Lord will shine in us. You know, we need to pray. But like I said, we need to start at work, at home, with our classmates, with our saint brothers. We need to start at home, with all around us, to really shine, so they can see Christ in us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, this message is very high. There is no other name like Him.
I don't know if you remember today, the kind of pick up the hymn, very meaningful. One with Thee, one with Thee, one with Thee, one with Thee. Day by day I share Thy riches, Thou art everything to me.
Amen.
I just appreciated maybe two things, and actually, the first was when these verses in Ephesians 4, actually, there's a children's hymn that we have playing at home sometimes. Speak truth, speak truth. And sometimes I hear the hymns, I don't even know there's a, it's a verse, really, until I see this, and I'm like, oh, Lord. I just appreciated, you know, I was reading this week a portion about, related to parenting, and our need to sanctify ourselves for the sake of our children. And it was talking about Enoch and how, actually, it was only after having a child that it says that he walked with God, right? Mm-hmm. But it is actually, I feel like it just so much relates to our living, because everything I speak, everything I say, right, is really directly affects grace. And I have to be accountable for everything that I say, right? And I think, I don't know, I never really made this connection with actually doing everything in the name of the Lord. I think actually my understanding of actually the name of the Lord, right, it's given to us. It's a precious name, right? The Lord's name is the highest name. We can actually call on the name, drink of the Lord through his name, right? We have such a sweet experience of the Lord through his name. But actually there's also, I just appreciated this point in day two. It's also, you know, it's kind of a warning, right? Actually, for the Lord to give us his name is not a small thing, right? I don't even think, you know, I work with some graduate students. I don't think I'd even trust them with my name to go do things, right? Go and do this in my name. Certainly not publish this paper in my name. But actually, right, it says, being in the name of the Lord Jesus means that God has committed his son to us, right? God is not committing us to do work. He's committed his son to us. And it says the Lord trusts us to the extent that he dares to commit his name to our hands and allows us to use this name. This is the meaning of being in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Right? Being in the name of the Lord means that the Lord Jesus has given himself to us and he's willing to acknowledge everything that we do in his name, right? He's willing to bear all the consequences of us doing things in his name, right? I think that's really not a light matter, right? I think what all the saints have pointed out, really, that's actually just a matter of being one with the Lord. Actually, if we're not one with the Lord, we have no right to do anything in the Lord's name, yes. Right? It's actually, we're doing it in another name. It's not in the Lord. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Wow. I just appreciate it, right? This is so practical, like in all, in our word and deed, in our conduct. Maybe be one with him, and one with him in his name.
I was very convicted by this statement. The service of the building up of the church is a live ministry service. A lot of time, this is a very high level requirement, live minister. A lot of time we're doing service, we only care about, you know, do things need to be doing right.
Yes.
I remember one time I signed up for the cleaning. And when I walk it's time for cleaning, and I walk into the kitchen, I saw the whole counter was like a mess. You know, the knife is on the counter, and everything is not clean. And I was like, and the sister told me, because we have a cleaning team. But I was like, but this is not character building. When you walk in, it's clean. So when you left, it's supposed to be clean too. So I fellowship with whoever served the preparation that day. I say, you know, we are not here, you know, just for enjoyment. But also, we are for the character building. We need to put into our character in service. So when you come in, it is clean. When you laugh, it has to be clean. But then, you know, let me tell you, when I went home, I was so convicted by God. I was that worried. Did I say the right thing to my brother and sister? Did I stumble them? You know. So that thing is really bothering me. Because in my professional career, I was told things need to be done efficiently. Things need to be doing right, correctly. So this is like into my character. So when I come to see something not done right, that's my first reaction. So I totally forgot about we are in the church life. We need to minister Amen. The life. So I was so bothering, so I was keep on telling God, Lord, what should I do? What should I do? And then one time, and then God created a chance that I meet them in the kitchen again. So I said, you know, I'm sorry if I did offend you. say that to you. And but then, it's so amazing. God really covered us with the grace and mercy. They told me, no, we did not. And then we are really grateful that you did give us a fellowship with them. So I was like, oh, what a relief. You know, in the church life, you know, we can do it right. We can do it correctly. But the most important is we have to do it in a live ministry manner.
Amen.
Because all in society, they did not teach us that. You know, we can kill each other just for, you know, we have to get the work done. But in here, maybe we do it not right. Maybe we do it, you know, not efficiently. But as long as we have this ministering life to each other, we will benefit while we are serving to our brother and sister. So I think it's a really big lesson. And so when I do it this time again, I was like reminding again, yes, we are doing service, but we should not do it according to the worldly people doing it. You know,
right. Mm-hmm.
To accomplish the job done, we don't care what we are ministering. But in church life, the most we care is we have to minister life in the church life.
Amen. Amen. It was actually very touched by Sister Mia's sharing. She's older than me, so I think that, you know, for us who are older, you know, sometimes we really have a lot to say about our speaking. And I do feel that this week's message is really a serious reminder and warning to all of us. You know, before I thought that, you know, Nora, you know, I'm pretty straightforward. You know, I don't hide my what I want to say, what I feel about. So, you know, I just say whatever I want to say and I repent. But then, you know, growing older and older, I find that should not be the case.
Yes.
Because especially this week, if you look at the message, it actually says that, okay, so Matthew 12, verse 36, I say to you that every idle word which men shall speak, they will render an account concerning it in the day of judgment. And 37, for by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. So even in the message it says that, you know, if you steal something, you can pay back the money, you can pay back it. But the word that you say, you actually cannot take that back.
Yes.
That damage is even worse.
Yes.
So I think that is really a reminder that also in the message it says that we need to be regulated by God's word. And I think that, you know, only when we turn to God, we would know, oh, you know, actually today I said something wrong. Today, you know, I really need to repent. And you know, like before when Eric was young, I had some, you know, like tricky strategies. I thought that, you know, he does not understand Chinese. So, you know, whenever I want to argue with Kyle, I can just, you know, speak in Chinese. But then, you know what? Actually, last year, he mentioned something to me. He said, Mom, I remember, you know, like you speak this word pretty often. I actually checked Google translation and I found that it's actually not good. And I was like, oh Lord, you know. So when Scott mentioned about this, I think, you know, you still have a long way to go. It's really a reminder to us, and not just in our daily living, but also in our church life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I am currently a PhD student at Rutgers, and I'm working with my advisor, and she's a very knowledgeable professor, and she is a distinguished professor, and she's respected by all the professors in the department. And I feel like anytime I mention her name, I mention her name as my advisor, other people, they just look at me a little bit like in respect, because she my advisor is a very highly respected professor.
But I realized that I really need to try to be a good student, to be worthy of my advisor's name. And this week's message is really meaningful in the sense that it applies to me in the same way. I realized that I have been I have been joking a lot. I have been like with my friends. I have been joking. I have been saying idle words a lot, and I realized that the law, he has allowed me to be in his name, and I really need to try to be sanctified, to be saturated, to be worthy of his name. I don't want to I don't want that one day I did something wrong, and then other people they saw that, and they said to themselves that, oh, look what a Christian has done. I really don't want that to happen. So, yeah, praise the Lord that He has allowed us to be on His name, and we should really try to be worthy of that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll just share briefly. The title of this message is "Doing All Things in the Name of the Lord Jesus."
Amen.
And we see that the name of the Lord actually is the expression and sum total of what the Lord has done, and also his person, right? So we can say everything is actually in this name of Jesus, right? As his person, he's the Son. He is the expression of God, the embodiment of God. And his work, he has attained to the highest place in the universe, right? He has overcome death. He has overcome every single barrier, right? And now he's ascended. He's been given the highest name, right? And this is the name of Jesus. So when from the title, we see that doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus actually is to, you can say it's to do all things in the Lord, right? The name actually denotes the person himself, right? Because we have, believed into the Lord, all those who have received him, and, you know, even called upon his name, right? We've been saved. We actually have entered into this person, right? The Lord Jesus, we become one with Him, and so by doing all things in the Lord, in the name of the Lord, it actually means that we are doing all things in the Lord Himself, right? God wants to be one with man; He wants to be incorporated, and then in order to see this, you have to see the example, the model of the Lord Jesus Himself in John 5:43. He said that I have come in the name of the Father, right? And then eventually in John 14:26, you see that the Father sends the Spirit in the name of the Son. Actually, this just indicates that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all one.
Amen.
Right? The Lord did not come directly by himself, but actually in the Greek it says that he came with the Father. Right, the Father was with him in his coming, and then the Father sending the Spirit was actually with the Lord. So I think one of my burdens this morning is actually we would be in this oneness. Right, we've been brought into the triune God, but we need to live in this oneness. Right, and practically the way that we live in oneness with the Lord is actually by calling on his name.
Amen.
Right? The name includes everything. Whatever we need. As long as we're in this name, we're in the Lord. Right? As long as we're living in this name, doing things in this name, we are one with the Lord.
Amen.
Esther mentioned that this is a fact. This is a reality. And when we call on the Lord, we confirm this fact. Right? That we are one with the Lord. But actually, to take it a step further, we also, when we call on the Lord, our calling on the name of the Lord has to be uplifted. It's not just merely to say it, but it's an entering in. There's a reality to this name. It's an entering into the name of the Lord to actually live in this oneness with Him. And so we can call on the Lord all day long, right? Actually, I encourage the saints that we should build this habit up, not only when something negative has happened or when we're about to lose our temper, right? Or we're trying not to do something bad, but actually we need to enjoy this name all day long, no matter what is happening. Not merely just to do good and not do bad, but actually God has committed Himself to us. Right? He has committed this name for us to enjoy it.
Amen.
Right? And we would enjoy it all the time. As much as we can, we would partake of His name. I was touched by the story in Acts 19, where you see some who actually misuse the name. So there is this warning that we would actually not misuse the Lord's name. The Lord had done many works through Paul, and you know, even Paul was very much used greatly by the Lord. That you know, there's miracles taking place, and so some saw this and they knew that Paul was doing this in the name of the Lord. These sons of Sceva, they saw this, and they tried to use the Lord's name, but they were not in that reality.
Right.
They were not one with the Lord. So actually, to tie this together, they were not a testimony of Christ. They were not one with Him, even in their daily living. And so, for us, it's not a matter of just using the name, calling on the Lord, but we would be exercised to be one with the Lord, right? In everything that we do in our daily living. This means that we need to spend time with the Lord, right? Even in the morning, first thing we do, I'm encouraging you saints to touch the Lord freshly, to be in His presence, so that when we go to work, we would not just go to work directly, but we would go to work with the presence of the Lord, right? Just as the Lord came, He did not come directly, but He came with the Father. May we be enjoying Him continuously. And then throughout the day, just to stay in the union, right? So we receive this, this charge to do all things in the name of the Lord. And in our daily living, there's many things that we would do. But practically, how we would do all things in the Lord is just to call on His name.
Amen.
And so, I think most of the sharing was really brought out. But those three points, we would use this name that God has given to us.
Amen.
Right? And we would not misuse it. Right? We would, in our daily living, we would actually exercise to be in the Lord's presence, to be in that reality, and not like the sons of Sceva, who thought that they could just use the Lord's name, but they were not in the reality. And then the second point is to call on the Lord, not only in the good things or the bad things, but all day long we would enjoy this name of the Lord.
Amen.
We would enter into this reality. This is what the Lord ultimately wants. He wants us to live this one life with Him, to do all things in Him. To do all things in the name of the Lord is actually to do all things in Him. So praise the Lord that He has given us His name.
Amen.
May we enjoy this name.
Amen.
We would enjoy it in a full way.
Amen.
Right? The Lord is rich to all who call upon Him.
Amen.
So saints, may we be the ones who are calling on the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God has made your name the highest name.
Amen.
A above every name.
Amen.
Amen.
Your name is Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You're the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
You're a man.
Amen.
You're God.
Amen.
Lord, you're all inclusive.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we like to live a life that's worthy of your name.
Amen.
Thank you for bestowing the highest name in the universe to us.
Amen.
We pray that in our living, in whatever we do or say,
Amen.
We would do Amen. All things in your name.
Amen.
And work this out this week in our daily living.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.